Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who is our mighty fortress, our Lord, our Savior, who's defeated the devil for us. Amen. I want to talk about the Old Testament reading today, Deuteronomy 26. We pray, Lord, you teach us that we cannot live on mere bread alone, but we must live on every word that comes from your mouth. So give us your word today, strengthen our faith. Help us in the battle against Satan and temptation. Keep us in the true faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, happy Valentine's Day. Thought I'd get that out of the way real quick here. But it is a day of love, a day of gifts to tell those you love that you love them, a day of cards, a day of flowers, of chocolate, going out to dinner, maybe jewelry. And so to show my great love for First Lutheran Church, I have a gift for you today. For, what has it been, Pat, 17, 18 years, you've been very kind to my family and I. And so on Valentine's Day, to say I love you, I have some fruit and I have some bananas. Who'd like a banana? Not just a banana, but a nice brown, rotten banana. And I got a grapefruit. It's about a six-month-old grapefruit, I would say, picked off the vine. Not just a grapefruit. I think it's about half the size. It shrunk over time. Kind of a nice brown grapefruit. And also, if you don't like grapefruit, an orange, William, you ready? And this used to be about twice the size, too. A nice kind of, is that Tennessee orange? Bad, rotten fruit. Who'd like some? Well, of course, I'm illustrating, as you know, I'd never really give you bad, rotten fruit for Valentine's Day or any other day, and neither would you. But I suggest that this is exactly what we give to God. It's often what we give to God. And so we come confessing to God, I often give you rotten, bad fruit. And please forgive me. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, the people of Israel are no doubt so excited. They've been delivered from Egypt, the 10 plagues, the Red Sea, and now they've wandered 40 years, but God has taken care of them, manna and water, and protected them in many ways. And now they're on the edge of the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. They're so excited to go in, and Deuteronomy is Moses' farewell sermon before they go in, and God, through Moses, says, now, when you go, give first fruits. You heard me read it. Give your best. Do the maximum for me. Give your life to me. All that you are and have belongs to me. So give it back in faith and love, because I've given you first fruits. I've given you myself. I've delivered you and saved you. Now, come on. Be compelled by my love to love me back. Give first fruits. But the people of old, like us, often give worst fruits. And you continue to read in Joshua, Judges, and on, for the most part, they give a lot of lousy, bad, rotten fruit, not first fruits at all. Read the book of Judges, and time again, they stray off into idolatry. They worship other gods. Can there be any worse fruit to give to God than to worship other gods? And they go off into idolatry, and God raises up a judge and delivers them from their enemies. And they stray off into idolatry again, and idolatry again about 12, 13 times. Always idolatrous. Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. Bad, bad, rotten fruit. And they just got to the promised land. And then after David, he bore some pretty good fruit, we would say. And Solomon, for half his life, bore some pretty good fruit, gave good fruit to God. But at the end of Solomon's reign, again, idolatry. The kingdom splits in two, north and south. And the north commits idolatry, the south idolatry. They worship other gods. And along with idolatry are the other two I words, immorality, lots of sexual immorality, and injustice. They don't treat each other fairly or honestly at all. Sounds like America. Idolatry, immorality, injustice, bad, rotten fruit. And so as we have entered Lent, we don't make excuses. We don't try to deny it or blame it on somebody else, but we just say, God, we're like the people of old. We often give bad, rotten fruit. We don't give first fruits, we give worst fruits. We don't do the maximum, we do the minimum. but make it look like it's the maximum. So we look good doing it. We give the least, not the best, but we want to make it look like it's the best, so we look really good to other people. That's always important. We don't give our life, we give a little slice of our life, and God, the rest of it's mine after all. Reminds me, years ago at another church, I was doing some marriage counseling, and the couple had been married about 35 years. They were having some problems, and the wife was upset. She didn't think her husband loved her anymore. He never said, "I love you," and didn't seem to show it in any way. And the husband said to his wife, as we were meeting, he said, "Honey, 35 years ago, I said at the altar, I love you. If things change, I'll let you know." Now that's romance, folks. 35 years, I'll let you know. I bet he really, really loved his wife a lot. But this is how we tend to love God. God, when I was confirmed or baptized many years ago, I said, "I love you because you love me, and I hugged you and you hugged me, and I said, I love you." I said it publicly. "If things change, I'll let you know, God. But I'll go off on my merry way and do whatever I please. Just don't bug me." You know, we hear the politicians say, "Make America great again." We don't want America to be great again, if we're honest. God, make me great again. Who cares about America? Just make me great again. Make me great, God. Give me health and wealth. Give me power, popularity. Give me everything that my greedy heart desires. God, make me great again. Rotten, rotten, bad fruit. I don't want to sacrifice or anything else, and if I do it, I do it with a grumpy heart. Let somebody else do it, but give me everything that I want, God. And so today and throughout this season, may we get on our knees and confess, "God, I am a wretched, miserable sinner, and I have given you such rotten, bad fruit. Would you please forgive me?" But Lent is not only a time of confessing and then going home in despair, wondering whether God would ever forgive a wretch like me. But Lent really is a season of confidence. It is a season of great, great faith, the renewal of faith. To have confidence that God gave Jesus, and Jesus, his very Son, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus gives the first fruits for me. He gives the best for me. He does the maximum for me on my behalf as my substitute. He does it all for me. I don't follow Deuteronomy 26, and nobody does, but Jesus sure did. He gave first fruits his life. He gave the best his life. He did the most his life, all for me, to please the Father and to please me and to save me. And that's where the temptation of Jesus comes in hand. A lesson from the temptation of Christ today, this is always the gospel lesson, the first Sunday of Lent. The real lesson is that Jesus has come to give first fruits. He's come to do the maximum, to give his best, his life, to die on a cross. To summarize the temptations of the devil to Jesus, to summarize it all, the devil is saying to Jesus, "Don't die for these wretched people. Don't go to a cross. Think of yourself, Jesus. Be selfish. Make yourself great, Jesus. So turn the stones into bread and feed your hungry stomach. Think of yourself, not other people. Who cares about them?" And Jesus, "Rule with me in power." We can have all the power in the whole world. It's been given to me. I'll give it to you, which was a big lie of the devil. He didn't have power at all. But have power, Jesus. Think of yourself. Don't go die for wretched people. Don't give your life. Don't do the maximum. Do the minimum. A few miracles here or there. Teach them a little bit and go back to heaven and be gone. You don't want to die for these people. Don't give first fruits. Give worst fruits. And then jump down from the temple and be popular. Show off, Jesus. Show off your great, great power and then be gone. You don't want to be a sacrifice in that temple and tear down the curtain in the temple and die for people. The entire temptation is avoid the cross. Be selfish. Don't give your best, give the least. But Jesus doesn't fall like Adam and Eve and like you and me. He conquers the devil, not for himself. "Oh, look at me, I'm so great." He's God, he can conquer the devil anytime he wants. He does it for us on our behalf as our substitute. He now is the new Adam who represents all of us. He's giving God his life for us, doing the best for us, as our substitute. He's come not to turn stones into bread. He's come to turn himself into the bread of life to feed us. It's called the sacrament of communion. But first he must die to make that happen. He's come not to rule the world in power. He's come to redeem the world by his blood on the cross. He's come not to jump down from a temple. He's come to fulfill the temple. As I said, to tear down the curtain in the temple, that we have peace with God, to be the once and for all sacrifice, that we don't need any other sacrifices, to be our priest who gave himself, that we don't need all the priesthood. We don't need the temple, we just need him. That's what he's come to do, but he must die. He's coming then not to be king, I'm glorious and powerful. He's come to be servant, to give first fruits for us. And when he gives his first fruits, when he gives himself, two things to conclude. He's giving all that he is to the Father to please the Father on our behalf. The perfect life he lives, the conquering of Satan, his death, his resurrection, is all to please the Father, because we don't do it. This is why the Father says when Christ is baptized, he hasn't really done a whole lot, but the Father already says, "This is my Son, with him I am well pleased." This is the one who pleases me. He's the one who gives first fruits. He's the one that does the job. He's perfect and holy. And Jesus continues that through his life, death, and resurrection. He pleases the Father for us so that through Jesus, as we're baptized like Ava, we are pleasing to God. God's not mad at me. God's pleased with me. God loves me. God's on my side through Jesus, my substitute. When I was a little boy, my three brothers and I would want to give Mama Valentine's Day gift. We didn't really have girlfriends. But, you know, little boys should give their mama Valentine's gift. Are the Sprecher boys getting mom something? Jared, you're responsible for that down there. Come on. And, you know, I might give Mom a Mickey Mouse little Valentine card that she bought for me to give to her. Or a Scooby-Doo card. That was one of my favorites. Goofy guy, whatever that thing's name was. Goofy or whatever. And write, "I love you, Mom." And maybe give a little sweet tart that she gave to me again. A whole box of them. But my older brother, Dave, I mentioned him. He was the perfectionist. And Dave would actually make a homemade card. He would get the poster and cut out the card, and he would make a homemade card and write a nice poem to Mom and say how much he loved Mom. "You're the best mom in the whole world." And he might even get Mom a box of turtle candy. And what would Mark, Jim, and I, the younger brothers, want to do when we saw that? "Dave, can we sign our name under yours?" "Please, Dave." And what would Dave say? "No. Go make your own card, you lazy bum," right? Jesus lets us sign our name to his work. He lives a perfect life, dies, rises, and he lets us in baptism by faith, if you will. The Holy Spirit signs our name. You're included. This is your gift too. We've all offered first fruits through Jesus. We're all pleasing to God through Jesus. And Jesus also then not only gives himself as first fruits to the Father, but he also gives us today first fruits. This is the grace of God. The God who says, "Give me first fruits," he's the God who turns around and gives us first fruits. Jesus gives us the first fruits of himself. We all eat fruit today. It's not rotten bananas and grapefruit and oranges. We all partake today of the perfect, holy, righteous fruit of his body and blood, as we partake of the body, the fruit of Jesus. We partake of the blood, the fruit of Jesus, the juice of Jesus. And we live, and we're forgiven, we're redeemed and saved. It's God's "I love you." It's God's meal for us, his dinner for us on Valentine's Day. I went to Kroger yesterday to get a couple things, to get my wife some roses, Pat. Did you get Harriet roses? No? All right. And there was a lady there. You know how in Kroger, nothing like starting a marital fight on Valentine's Day, huh? There's at Kroger, there was a lady there. You know how they give little bites of food to test food, and they want you to buy that product. And she had some fancy cracker. She had a piece of cheese on it. She said, "Sir, would you like a cracker here? It's one of their new crackers and has some cheese." And I said, "No, thanks." She said, "Well, I think your wife would really like it for Valentine's Day, these really nice crackers." And I thought to myself, what? Nothing says "I love you, Ann," than a box of fancy crackers today on Valentine's Day, huh? I mean, really? Valentine's Day, fancy crackers, come on. Well, we get a cracker today, a little wafer, and a little wine. And God, through it, says, I love you, because it's not just a little wafer. It's his very crucified, risen body that's conquered the devil and hell. You eat of that body, a little wafer with the body of Christ in, with, and under, and a little sip of wine, but there is the saving, righteous blood of Christ that has conquered all hell, that lives eternally. Of course, if we eat of this wonderful fruit, we're going to live. It's Jesus himself who lives. And he gives us this fruit freely out of his grace. He gives first fruits to us. Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit and they died. We today eat of the forgiveness fruit and we live. So, dear friends, in Lent we confess, oh God, I don't give first fruits. We have confidence. Jesus gives first fruits for us and to us. Come eat the perfect fruit and live. Amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together.